Tonight's choice is a song recorded by British singer Dusty Springfield and written by Clive Westlake. Recorded on June 1, 1968, at Chapel Studios in London, it was released that August to reach number 4 in the UK, where it ranks as one of Springfield's biggest hits. Of her solo singles only, I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself and You Don't Have to Say You Love Me outrank it, while I Only Want to Be with You matches its number 4 peak. In the United States, the song proved to be Springfield's final release on Philips. The singer had recently assigned Atlantic Records to be her American label of release, as of the August, but because of legal wranglings between the two companies, the single was virtually ignored in the United States, reaching 122 on the bubbling Under Hot 100 singles chart in Billboard. No such embroilment for Dad, who several years after it had seen the charts, recorded the up-tempo number for his new album, The Long and Winding Road. No Blue Peter badge for those of you who have guessed that my selected track for Siren tonight is I Close My Eyes and Count to 10.
It's the way you make me feel the moment I am close to you. It's a feeling so unreal, somehow I can't believe it's true. The pounding I feel in my heart, the hoping that we'll never part. I can't believe I close my eyes and count to 10. And when I open them, you're still here. I close my eyes and count to 10. And when I open them, you're still here.
The impact that we get when we press that Michelle Monroe button is phenomenal. I close my eyes to count to 10. This week's Michelle Monroe choice. There'll be another one actually in a fortnight, because next week we'll be back with Tallulah Rendell, which is fantastic. Randy Reinholtz, co-founder of the wonderful company Native Voices at the Autry, will be coming up very, very shortly. And you're already quite excited, aren't you, Rachel?
I am, yes.
Measure for Measure meets Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
All very new experience is going through with that. The co-creator and producing artistic director of Native Voices at the Autry. He has his own jingle. In fact, it's Randy's voice who promoted so much of Inspired On Air, as we know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But you were asking for some Nick Kershaw, it would seem.
I was, yeah.
Yes.
You don't have the one I wanted.
We don't have I Won't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Oh. Because, you know, it's a cliche. But we have got Wouldn't It Be Good?
Randy Reinholtz, the best director of community engagement and innovative programs from San Diego State University you could ever wish to connect with, and bringing Native American voices to the world via the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
To which we normally would say, go, Randy, go, 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 go. Randy Reinholtz is back with us. How are you, sir?
Very good, Alex. How about yourself?
It's been, you know, one of those days where you feel as though you're not quite in sync with the rest of the universe, and you kind of go from marking dissertations about audio production onto final essays for the American Studies program on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, through to meetings where you really think you've just wasted 2 hours of your life of actually simply being there, and then you actually go to do a speech, and then you come back and think, they've changed my computer and they didn't let me, they sort of only...
This is a very negative introduction,
Alex. You're quite right. Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah.
And normally Randy is just so positive in every sense of the word. It's brilliant to have you back as ever, Randy. And as we said just beforehand, we decided this time around we'd go through the traditional lines of Libby and company. Libby and Laura, of course, who are top souls, because of course without Libby and Laura we would never have featured Jean Bruce Scott, and ergo you would never have actually made your Midweek Drive debut yourself. Fantastic.
There we are. And Rachel's there to rescue you, it sounds.
So often she just sort of steps in there like some kind of crazy superheroine. It's amazing. It's fantastic. And we've got Holly as well from that point of view. So, Rachel, it's fair to say you find this whole notion of Measure for Measure, adapted by Randy Reinholtz, directed by Chris Anthony, with dramaturgy by Robert C. Casely, quite fascinating.
I did. Holly did as well. We were both saying it looks interesting because the... how was it explained?
Blazing Saddles.
Yep.
Meets Shakespeare.
Meets Shakespeare, yeah. Different, interesting.
With an Indian boarding school.
With an Indian, exactly.
I think it's Indian
so
boarding school.
So many themes.
It sounds like there is a...
Within the peculiar American institution of the Indian boarding school system, where children were stripped of their culture, and indeed, you know, quite rightly so... No, I'm not saying it's quite rightly so, no. But it raises a whole range of emotions and factors within that. And this is, of course, one of the things which is right at the heart of Native Voices at the Autry, Randy, because... You're providing a much-needed opportunity for Native American voices to actually be heard.
Absolutely. And their motto at those schools was to kill the Indian and save the man. And I've been speaking with people, particularly the last month, about the play. And the basic question that seems to resonate, there were perhaps 15 to 60 million Native Americans when Columbus made contact with the Americas, or North America particularly. And by the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, there were 200,000. So the question is, why didn't they just kill the rest? You know, the government was systematically annihilating these people to get the land. And why not just kill the rest? And, of course, some amazing people made some really difficult decisions and tried to do some very flawed things. And the school system was one. So it was really a way of selling it to the folks back east. We'll just kill the Indians, but we'll save the man. And salvation was very big at this time. So it's an amazing time.
Is that just a way of butchering John Locke's ideas of education, making the man that you're a blank slate beforehand? It sounds like it's just a regurgitation.
I mean, it's almost as though you've got... that. Pedagogical ethnic cleansing after a fashion here in terms
right.
of
absolutely that was what was going on. And you know, I wonder if we're doing bits of that in Brazil, and you know, there are places around the world where we're still practicing this, and we call it different things. But so this play, when you get down to that subject, it's just such a pithy, sad subject. And then we avoid telling it. People in the United States don't know this history. Very, very, very few. I think I was in a graduate class with about 50 students speaking at a neighboring university, very good university, and three people had heard of the Indian boarding schools, and it went on for four generations. So it's this piece we don't know how to talk about, and in some ways, while it was sad, it was the turning point. Now there are over a million Native Americans in the United States. And we're resurrecting these cultures and these ideas and ways of living. And, you know, they're new. They're not just old. So in this telling, we had to kind of find something funny and something humorous. And so that's where the Mel Brooks idea came in. And the premise is Buffalo Bill's Wild West shows coming to town to audition new acts. And so every crazy person from within a riding distance is in town with their rope tricks and tomahawk tricks and shooting arrows and all the different things that could happen. And while Indian culture was outlawed at this time, one could practice if it were for entertainment. So you couldn't use it for culture, but you could use it if you were showing it to someone like Buffalo Bill, because therefore you weren't breaking the law, you were taking it, and he was busy taking all these acts to Europe at this time. So we're in 1895. So it really lets us be wildly silly and celebrate sort of what was fun and unique, and then we just decide to focus on who must have been the amazing people that let these cultures live. Of course, we know, and Measure for Measure is a very nice play for that, because we take a sort of a benevolent ruler, the Duke, Shakespeare does, and removes him with a very officious, over-legalistic ruler, Angelo. And then Angelo commences to make a mess of everything, and then the Duke has to come in and save it at the end. And we kind of follow that premise. So, and I take the Duke storyline and I give it to Mistress Overdone. So in the 60s and 70s, one of the longest running television shows here in the United States was called Gunsmoke. And there was a sheriff in this small town, and there was the Miss Kitty, and the children just knew her as Miss Kitty, but all the adults knew that Miss Kitty ran the bordello across the town. So I'm taking several sort of iconic American figures and packing them in to this one show, and then we break the period of history, so we do Gangnam Dancing, and we have fun music, so we have an Irish girl singing a Gaelic song, we have her boyfriend. The young Indian man gets the Irish girl pregnant, and Irish were not treated well here. So he gets her pregnant, she sings in Gaelic, he picks up the tune, then sings back to her in Lakota. So there's some really nice things that happen in the play, and, you know, we've heavily co-opted it. So it's about 60% our production and about 40% remnants of Shakespeare hung loosely around his structure.
And put quite simply, it's a tour de force, which if it doesn't actually encourage our British citizens to actually get on the nearest plane to actually fly over to see the scenario at Native Voice of the Autor, I don't know what's going to happen. Although one of these days we will promise we will actually do that. Rachel, thoughts and questions from yourself?
I think it sounds really interesting. I love the idea how you're adding contemporary text and like songs into it to make it like current with older. Does it not come here? I'm jealous. I want to see it.
Yeah, the campaign starts here, Randy.
Who knows what can happen? Yeah. Who knows?
It's all very well, you know, being appointed head of acting at San Diego State University, and then in 2012 being named as Director of Community Engagement and Innovative Programs at San Diego State University. But we need another sabbatical for you to bring the events to Lincoln once again, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll sign the petition.
There we are. See, Holly, and she's from York. So it's already...
Yeah, you've got a tour going on. There is potential.
Yeah, so exactly. There's more to England than just London. I say England because who knows, by the time you get back here, Andy, Scotland might be a completely different country. Sorry.
It's in the offing.
Well, it's who knows what could happen with respect
to that.
Don't
forget the Welsh.
I would never forget the Welsh, nor indeed the Principality or Northern Ireland as well, from that point of view. Honestly, you know, the whole thing could fit into New York City State. Strange, but still. Is it something that's just to do with human beings, Randy, that we do like to territorialise? And we mentioned, obviously, in terms of the story here, we still see, you mentioned with the Brazilians, we have the same thing arguably happening with respect to the Ukraine, Chechnya and various other things. Can we just not get along?
I don't know. I think we can. I think people like to mix it up to prove they've got power and ride around shirtless on horses. It seems those are really important things.
It hasn't helped me when I ride into a seminar and topless on horseback. I get people saying, no, go away.
And I don't think it helped Lady Godiva either.
Exactly.
Well, let's keep our shirts on till next time.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain limits to doing these radio shows, Randy, and as you know, topless broadcasting is not something I would advocate, even if you are in Los Angeles, but you know, it's a different part of the world there. How is Jean coming on, just as obviously Rachel's phone decides to explode?
Sorry, yes.
That's very exciting. You know, it's nice. It's got such a wonderful, powerful bzzz.
I know, it's probably the only noise it makes.
Not quite as powerful as Holly's ringtone, which...
That was a website, though.
It's extraordinary what was coming through there. Still, it's behind the scenes. As
technology.
Far as radio packages are excellent. Randy, let's share some details, because obviously Laura and company will be devastated to say, yes, but when's it on, what's happening, etc. Talk to us about ways in which obviously people can update themselves, probably fill in as well, and check out Native Voices at the Autry. What's happening from that?
We have workshops at the end of the month with showings in Los Angeles of three plays, their readings, on the 28th and 29th of May. And then we caravan down to San Diego, about 4 hours away, for the 31st and 1st of June. And the first in L.A. is at the Autry National Center. And down here, it's the La Jolla Playhouse.
Exactly. Which, of course, as we said before, is an opportunity to get involved with all sorts of things. And a website, Randy. What's the best way to actually sort of find you on the internet?
Oh, gosh, I'm supposed to know that, and I don't No,
it's all right. If Jean's listening, don't worry. She's got it anyway. I mean, if you actually put into a search engine native voices at the Oratory, it will come through. Festival of New Plays and a whole heap of other scenarios coming through as far as life's concerned. So
Facebook by Native Voices at the Oratory as well.
Yeah. It's understandable because in the original sort of setup of this interview, and it was wonderful because time routine, Randy being such a consummate professional, actually said he could either do 6:05 p.m. UK time or indeed, which is 5:10 a.m. in Pacific time, or he was actually willing to do it at 10 o'clock evening time as well. It's amazing, because there was a slight confusion. It's all right. It all worked well. You know, that's important. That's what happens when you sort of deal with wonderful agents and such like stuff. And I've just realised, Randy, that this means that you are now slightly ahead of Gene Bruce Scott in terms of regular contributions to the show. Shocking.
Lord, I can't have that. Don't tell her.
It's a tough call. We're going to speak now to Fien Heel, hopefully, assuming she's online and connected. Fien is a Belgian soul who's cycling from Vancouver. Sorry, I've got the right way. She's cycling from Miami, Florida to Vancouver. She was in Kentucky when we last spoke to her a fortnight ago, so let's see where she'll be going from that point of view. But, as you know, Randy, being a seasoned contributor to the whole scenario, it is time for... Well, ask, would you like Holly or Rachel to ask you both questions, or would you like them to take a question each?
Oh, each, please.
Yeah, very, very democratic. It's very good. Okay, so question one from yourself, Rachel.
Right. Well, my question is, have you enjoyed being on the show with us today?
Lovely to meet you, Rachel. I have indeed.
Oh, good.
Good answer. Good response. Yep. Well delivered. That was nice. You know, I've sensed the sort of pain and passion was coming across in both ways. Parting is such sweet sorrow. That was there. It's nice, nice.
Yes.
Holly?
And would you like to come back and talk to us again soon?
I should like that, Holly. Thank you for the invitation.
Randy Reinholtz. We'll return. Yay!
Bye.
Bye.